Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy. So let me get Brandon Tilly. Come on up here. How many of y'all know Brandon Tilly? And Brandon, bring your notes with you. If you're a Christian and have a Bible, you can bring that too if you want. I can pick on Brandon. Brandon is gonna help us today. And I want to talk to you about Jesus, meaning he is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying this from a place of I've had a number of confirmations this week. Actually, over the last couple weeks. A few weeks ago on Saturday night, we were in here praying with some people, and there was three different people that I thought already walked. And go ahead and sit right here, buddy. That I thought already walked in what we're going to talk about today. And as I was we were praying with them, I just sensed the Lord saying you need to ask them about this. Ask them if they have been filled, what the Bible says, filled with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about today. And they were kind of like basically, you know, like, well, no. And so we prayed, and God moved, and it was incredible. And then Sunday morning came, and a whole bunch of people got baptized. And then there was these different confirmations. Sarah Smith came and told me, she said she felt like God was doing this work about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I talked to Pastor Jeff and Lori, and he was in Georgia, a church in, what was that city you were in? Cartersville, Georgia, a couple weeks ago, and the Lord had him teach on that, and just a bunch of stuff broke out. It was amazing. And we've seen baptisms happen. I'm telling you, people are going to keep getting saved. People are going to keep getting baptized in water, but the next shoe that's going to drop, the next thing that's going to be like, you know, I don't know if that sounds like a gun or let it, whatever analogy works for you. The next thing that's going to be released, I believe, is a healthy and pure, like your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There's not a coincidence that the movie of Jesus Revolution is being released at this time. God is at work, and I'm telling you, if you just go into your church mindset and you just sit back in your pew and sit back in your seat and do what you've always done, you're not going to come up to this next level. This is a ramp season. This is a ramp season, and I'm not talking about hype and just yelling. Some preachers, they say the same thing, but they'll just say it louder, and everybody gets excited. I ain't trying to I'll get loud, but I want you to hear what I'm saying. Because it's great. You know me, I love being passionate, but we have to be on target too. And so we've had these confirmations, like five different confirmations Sarah and I was talking about. And then the last one was Shane and Kara Elms. Man, they broke us off something on the men's and women's night. Yeah. And they came and started talking about, and they had no idea the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something we were already talking about and praying into and wanting to walk in. And so it was another confirmation. So you got to watch when God starts confirming his word. You got to watch, you know, when he individually, he'll say stuff to you, then he'll confirm his word. And if you have eyes that are open and ears that are open, you'll see God confirming his word. And I'm just telling you what I believe. You believe what you want to. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that the next thing globally over this next season that's going to begin to start releasing at different levels is and in Jesus' name I pray it's pure and sincere, but there is going to be a releasing and a moving of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to show you some things today. And I'm going to use Brandon as I do this. So he is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And here's three things that Jesus desires for everyone. For everyone. And that includes Brandon, and it includes you. Now, I happen to know about Brandon, and I'm going to be able to do this because I'm his pastor. We've known him for a few years, and there's times in Brandon's life that he's felt like he's not spiritual enough. There's times in Brandon's life that he's felt like he's not good enough. There's times in Brandon's life where he drives really slow. No, I'm kidding. He never drives slow. He's always pedal to the metal. There's times, though, where Brandon has been with insecurities and stuff where he's like really struggled about some things. And maybe some of you have felt that same way. But when I say there's three things that Jesus wants and desires, that he literally desires and has strategically built a blueprint and is the architect for these three things to happen in your life. There's probably 20 things I could say, but these three things as a foundation for sure, there's three things that God wants in Brandon's life and your life. And there's nothing that Brandon could tell me. There's no insecurity. There's no question. There's no fear. There's nothing that he could bring to me as his pastor that would ever justify. There's no church hurt. There's no wound. There's no event. There's no demonic activity. There's no false. There's nothing that his wife could say, that his boss could say, that he could say. There's nothing that could change, that he could ever focus on or believe that would be justifiable or legit, that would actually make me believe that Jesus doesn't want these three things for him. Jesus died and rose again so that these three things could be in Brandon's life. Now, if Brandon doesn't want them, that's going to be between him and Jesus. And so my encouragement to Brandon is don't let anything or anyone talk you out of the three things that Jesus died to bring you into. And if it's true for Brandon, it's true for you. And I believe God is establishing a foundation for these last times to have a people who know these three things. And so when you look at this, you can just look at your notes. It's real simple. The first one is salvation. This first chair is salvation. There was a day that Brandon wasn't saved. Thank God he got saved. And so salvation is the first one. Let's just go down that first column real quick because I want you to see this so I can end up showing you something. And salvation is what I call being spirit born. I heard Jack Hayford say that terminology, being spirit born, because it's not the flesh. Brandon didn't earn anything. Brandon didn't earn salvation. Brandon didn't turn his life around. Brandon came into this first chair, and this first chair is salvation, and in this first chair, it's being born of the Holy Spirit. Brandon was born once through his mama and daddy, and look how cute he is. Brandon was born in the natural. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. And if you're born once, you die twice. You're born twice, you only die once. And Brandon, at one time in his life, gave his life to Jesus. He believed in his heart and confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, Romans chapter 10. And then he called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so when he was saved, the person of the Holy Spirit came to live inside of him, in his spirit. So he's now a new creation in Christ. Looks like the old Brandon, smells like the old Brandon, but he's not the old Brandon. He's a new creation in Christ. Why? Because he's been spirit born. Some of you in this room, I would say many of you have been spirit born. Maybe all of you have been spirit born. But there's a moment of salvation when you are born again. You are born of the Holy Spirit. And that moment should create a movement in your life. It's never just about the moment. It's never just like a wedding. It's never just about, and you may kiss your bride. It's never just about the moment. It's about the life together. It's about the moment creates a movement. And so the moment of salvation creates a movement of salvation, that God's will begins to operate in your life and you work out your salvation. But at this moment, in this chair, the indwelling Holy Spirit. So what happens is the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of Brandon, and the indwelling Holy Spirit baptizes Brandon, this new believer Brandon, into the body, the spiritual body of Christ. So in that moment, there's this baptism. And so in these three things, there's actually three baptisms. Shane and Kara talked about it the other night. Real simple, foundational truth that everybody needs to know. And so at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes and takes Brandon and puts him into the body of Christ. And he does that from being inside Brandon's spirit, which is right about there. That was kind of, well, never mind, I'll let it go. And so And so a scripture I want you to see is John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22. A lot of people get confused about this. This is where the disciples were born again. And this is where you need to see the working of being spirit born and being born again. And Jesus tells them in John 20, verse 21 through 22, he comes to them. He walks through a locked door. He says, peace to them. And this is the resurrected Jesus on the evening of the first day of the resurrection. He comes into the room and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathed on them and said, what did he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. So what he's talking about is receiving the person of the Holy Spirit, your guide, your teacher, your comforter. And what happens is you have a whole new identity. You receive the person of the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation. And so that verse, John chapter 20, 21 and 22, shows how every single person is born again. A few weeks ago and last week when the different ones were born again, and we still have more people to baptize, we're just going to do it on Easter Sunday morning. The people who are born again, even if it was right here, if he got born again right now, I believe what happens is Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords and High Priest, comes and literally breathes inside of him. Just like God in creation took man and formed man from the dust of the ground and then came face to face and breathed into man, and man became a living being. So this is what happens when somebody's born again. And maybe you've not been born again. Maybe you've gone to church and you try to straighten your life out. Well, just like Brandon can't do it, I can't do it, and you can't do it, but Jesus can. And you can trust him and give your life to him and be born again. And the moment you're born again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, pull up that verse, guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, for by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek or Ballard County or Farlam or, you know, wherever you're from. You know, wherever you're at, doesn't matter your color, skin, or whatever, no matter who you are, the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you into the body of Christ. That's the first baptism. Happens at salvation. And this whole baptism is about a promise of a new person. That the moment Brandon received Jesus, he still looks like Brandon, smells like Brandon, but it is not Brandon anymore. That anyone, including Brandon, who is in Christ, is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Brandon now has a new identity with the person of the Holy Spirit living inside of him to supply him with righteousness, peace, and joy. So Brandon is a new person. There are times Brandon feels like an old person. There are times he feels like he used to be. But the thing about this chair and this baptism and understanding that being spirit born and the Holy Spirit takes me and puts me eternally, eternally, like the Holy Spirit inside of Brandon, the moment he was saved, took Brandon's spirit and put him at the right hand of God, seated with Christ. So Brandon is here physically, but there spiritually. And he's in the body of Christ. And if Brandon would live every single day with that revelation and that awareness, he wouldn't let what happens here distract him and deceive him and confuse him from the eternal identity that God has already accomplished there. There is greater than here. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And it's a promise about having a new person. And so then Brandon, he gets saved, so now he comes to the second chair. And in the second chair, this is about water baptism. And the second chair is about being spirit raised. And I remember when I heard Jack Hayford first talk about this, about being spirit raised, I thought, well, shouldn't it say spirit buried? Because here, I want you to sit in this chair, but turn facing this way. Bring your legs over here, because I'm going to do something. And so what happens, you know, this represents his past. And he gets in his chair, and being spirit raised is actually, it's another disciple, so I'd be the disciple. A disciple of Jesus Christ baptizes the new disciple into water, it's water baptism, by faith into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Matter of fact, Romans 6:4, pull up Romans 6:4 so we can see that real quick. Romans 6:4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. So it's a baptism. Matthew 28 talks about, you know, going to all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's part of the Great Commission. It's making disciples. So when Brandon was here, he became born again. And as a born again little babe in Christ, the Bible calls him a believer. He's a believer in Christ. And that believer gives him a new identity. Well, a believer's got to step up and grow up into a disciple. And the difference between a believer and a disciple is a believer is a babe who's born again. And they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. A disciple is someone who says, I'm going to actively follow him. I'm going to take on discipline in my life, be a person of the Word of God, be a person following the Spirit of God. And now I'm going to add discipline to my life. And the same way that I gave my life to alcohol or drugs or to all this other, the same way I gave my life to sin is, and I followed sin pretty passionately and committed in a committed fashion, I'm now going to commit my mind, my body, the members of my time, everything to the Lord. I'm a disciple of the Lord. It's one thing to be a believer. It's another thing to be a disciple. So baptism is a doorway to discipleship. And so what happens is it's a promise of a new purpose. So Brandon becomes a new person. And the Holy Spirit takes him and baptizes him into the body of Christ. And he has an eternal identity that's established and fixed. And there's nothing you could do to change it here. And now he steps into this thing of water baptism. And that's where somebody comes in the tank and just says, yeah! Just hold it, let all the sin out. Let all the sin out, brother, come out in Jesus' name. And then come up. And it's a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And what he's saying is, I am a disciple of Christ. I belong to Jesus. He is my master, he is my Lord, he is my rabbi. My life will be about obedience to his word, motivated by love. I am a disciple of Christ. And I will now live my life for a new purpose. It's the promise of a new purpose. A new person has a new purpose. And the most defining, good Lord, I could make this a whole nother sermon. The most defining thing in this man's life now is to be a disciple of Christ. I'm telling you, there's so many people that we think we say disciple of Christ or Great Commission. We've watered it down so much that we think there's so many other things, especially a younger generation, thinking there's a greater cause to live for. You're going after social justice, or you're going after this or that and trying to serve this and do that and give your life to a cause. I'm telling you right now, there is no greater cause that this planet has ever seen than the cause of Jesus Christ, than the Great Commission. There's no greater thing you can give yourself to. You could build your business and it's all gonna die. You could build your reputation and it's all gonna die. You could build your own kingdom and it's all gonna die. Somebody else is gonna spend your money. Somebody else is gonna drive your car. Somebody else is gonna live in your house. But what you do for the king and what the king does through you, what you do as a disciple of Christ will last forever. Forever. Because who you are reveals what you do. And you have a new identity that is eternal. So now you have an eternal assignment in a temporary world. And I think it's time we elevate again with honor what it means to be a disciple of Christ. To say, I am a disciple of Christ. And you can do whatever. You can hate me. You can shut me off of Facebook, take me off of YouTube, do whatever you want to do. You can put a bullet in my head. But you know what? If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out saying I am a disciple of Christ. So he's baptized. You need to do it twice or you good? All right. So we get to the third chair. The Holy Spirit baptizes Brandon into the spiritual body of Christ. Another disciple baptizes Brandon into water. Jesus himself. Jesus himself. He is my baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Guys, I could keep you here all day going through a ton of scriptures about why you should believe in the baptism with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. I could show you all kinds of stuff. I'm going to show you a couple in here in a second. But I really sense God is getting down to this point. Will you trust Jesus? Is there anything that Jesus has for you that you don't want? Because when you say no to the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you're saying no to the person who desires that for you. And not just like it would be nice if you have that. What he told his disciples is wait. Like wait before you go minister in my name. You need what I had. You need this. And so in your notes, you see it right there. Jesus Christ baptizes the new kingdom ambassador. So we go from believer to disciple. Now he's an ambassador of a kingdom with the power and giftings of the Holy Spirit. And in your Bible, Acts 2:4, and I know you know this, but it talks about on the day of Pentecost when it had fully come, that there is this, it goes into right before it about this mighty rushing wind and all this really cool stuff that you know, Spirit-filled people love to read, and we read it different. It's like in the mighty Russian wind. But the deal is they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Now, here's a lie. Here's a lie that I'm going to bust out right now. Because some of you have been raised in churches that meant well. They loved Jesus. They mean well, but they were lied to, and they regurgitated a lie. And they say tongues in the Bible was used to preach the gospel in languages so that people could hear the gospel. Never in your Bible do you ever see anyone preaching the gospel using tongues. If you have been told that tongues is for the purpose of preaching the gospel, you have been lied to. So the moving and the baptism with the Holy Spirit, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because baptism with the Holy Spirit is also being filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened in this moment, remember, the moment creates a movement. And the movement that came out of this moment was God brought them to another level. And when he did this, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in this time, they were praising and worshiping God. Your Bible says in John 7 that rivers of living water will flow through you from your inmost being. That's rivers of prayer. That's rivers of praise. Worshiping God in a way that is beyond your normal intellect. Rivers that break forth. And this rivers of prayer and rivers of praise that is talking about, speaking in tongues and praying in tongues is never to preach the gospel. Because what happened is they were walking in this and doing this. And then Peter went down and said, "Men of Israel, listen to me." And then he preached the gospel in a known language. You never see anybody preaching the gospel in the Bible through tongues. What you see is they're praising God. They're magnifying God. They're declaring the wonderful works of God. And that's what God is giving Brandon the ability to do with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, is he's giving him power, which I'll show you in a moment. But that power that is unlocked and unleashed in his life is a ramp moment, bringing him in this moment to a new level of movement. And this new level of movement is I can praise him beyond K-Love. I can praise him beyond. I have a supernatural rivers rising through me to pray for people, to praise God, to begin to do incredible stuff that God is going to release through me that builds me up on my most holy face so I can build others up. And all of that is from Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's hard for me not to just chase rabbits and go teach all this stuff. But today is not about teaching it. Today is about you answering the question, do you want what Jesus has for you? Because if you want what Jesus has for you, you don't have to have ABC 1-3 completely lined out to know everything and anything about the subject. Some of you didn't know hardly anything about salvation except Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And you took him at his word, and you opened your heart to him. You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth, and you were born again. Well, the same thing happens when you come to the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. You say, "Jesus, I come to you. I come to you." See, that's it's just like I was talking about tithing. Tithing is not about the money. Tithing is about the relationship. It's to Him. And so the baptism with the Holy Spirit is not about the things that we get to do. It's not about these different little elements that show up in our life. It's about I'm walking in right relationship with my desire is matching His desire. My desire for me is matching Jesus' desire for me. And so I just really sense this. I sense this really strong. Are you willing to live without something Jesus wants you to live with? I don't mean this insincere. I'm just passionate. Because you're scared. Then you're allowing fear to limit what Jesus desires to do in your life. So, Brandon, you stay right there. You look in your Bible. Open your Bible to Acts 1. We'll start in verse 4. Acts 1, starting in verse 4. Love this. And being assembled together with them, meaning the 120 that were, not just the 12, the 120 that were there, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, I want you to see this. I want you to get this. They had already been breathed upon on day one of the resurrection. Jesus Himself breathed upon them, and they were born again. The Holy Spirit was already inside of them. They were born again, day one. So people telling you the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came to earth, not true. If they say Acts 2 is when the church was born, not true. Sounds really good, not true. The church was born in John chapter 20 when the high priest of the church and the king of the kingdom said, the church was filled in Acts chapter 2, empowered in Acts chapter 2. And this is the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father in this context is not salvation because they'd already been saved. And why were they saved? Why in John chapter 20 were they saved? Weren't they already saved, Pastor? No, see, they had believed that Jesus is Lord. And according to your Bible, I've already said it, Romans 10, the requirements for salvation to be spirit born is believe Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Well, they had already believed Jesus was Lord, but until Jesus walked into the room through a locked door and until they saw the resurrected body of Jesus in front of them, they did not believe God raised Him from the dead. And so once they believed God raised Him from the dead, they met the requirements to be born again. And that's why Jesus said, and so they were born again. And so to that born again people who were baptized, and that's a whole other conversation, who were baptized, Jesus is now talking to them about the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father that I'm going to give to you is not what I've already given to you. Some people, here's another lie. Some people say the baptism with the Holy Spirit is really not us receiving anything from God. It's really us giving more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's not us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit getting more of us. Lie. Now, that statement would fit over here that He needs to increase and I need to decrease through discipleship. I need to repent and renew my mind and yield more of me to the Holy Spirit to walk in discipleship. That's true. But when it comes to the realm of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you're about to see He is giving you something you do not have to do something you cannot yet do. And don't misunderstand my passion. I ain't angry. I'm passionate. And so He goes in the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when He's talking about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, which He mentions in every one of the Gospels, that John did a baptism of repentance, and Jesus is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. You know this, Jesus never baptized anybody in water. Because His baptism is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And He desires to baptize you. Even y'all up there, goofy teenagers, see them goofy teenagers sitting up there? God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to release His power in and through your life. And it's not in this chair. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not, well, Brandon's just going to give more of himself to the Holy Spirit. That sounds so good. That would fit for this chair, but it doesn't work for this one. Because Jesus wasn't asking them to give something. He was saying, I have something to give you. And he goes on. Y'all know you know these scriptures. Verse 6. We'll just skip down to verse 8 for sake of time. But you shall receive power. See, notice, receive. You shall receive power. Brandon, I'm the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. It's the promise of the Father that I talked about. And when this promise is activated in your life, here's what I'm going to give you. You shall receive power. Wait a minute, Jesus. Isn't that what you already gave me over here? No, Brandon. I gave you the person of the Holy Spirit here. He's your righteousness, your peace, and your joy. And in this and through these two chairs, what I've given you through the person of the Holy Spirit is the ability for you to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because fruit is about character and a person. So this is about releasing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is about releasing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So no, I'm not just, it's two separate things. And literally three separate baptisms that Jesus wants every one of you to go through. And he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Notice, the moment, the upper room moment when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to worship God and praise God in another language, begin to magnify God in a language they don't know. And I'm telling you, it's so beautiful when that happened. When it happened to me and I was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I started worshiping God. And you never, listen, guys, never fight against it and never force it. But there is a flow. And you need to lean into it. You need to lean in past your comfort zone. You need to not just turn off your mind, but submit your mind to the Lord. And you need to lean in. And here's what the Lord showed me. Sergeant Booth told me years ago, I was praying. I prayed in the Spirit for a moment. I was worshiping God, just blessing God, magnifying God. And then I just sensed this little something. And I said some syllable, which sometimes I say stuff that's really no known language. It's just stuff come out of my mouth. It's probably just broken English language. But this one time I was praising and this syllable came out of my mouth and I didn't know what it was, so I stopped. And it was right as I was worshiping God. And thank God for Sergeant Booth, who was there discipling me. And she was like, that's it. And I was like, that's what? She's like, that's tongues. And it's not the gift of tongues, which is somebody speaks in a public tongue into a group like this. And then somebody follows with the interpretation. We should be open to that, but not everybody's going to walk in that. But everybody, Jesus wants everybody to have the prayer and praise language of tongues. Everybody. Everybody. And so what happened is she said, that's it. And I was like, that's what? She's like, that's tongues. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Oh my gosh. I was freaking out because I got in my own head. And then she told me this phrase. She said, keep praising Jesus. Stop speaking English. And the first scripture came to my mind, let everything that has breath. So I was like, Lord, I just praise you. And anybody who's sitting here thinking, oh, that's a tongue that needs to be interpreted. I ain't talking to you. And I know we're in the church, but it's okay to praise the Lord, you know, in the church in tongues. And I'll meet with anybody who wants to talk about 1 Corinthians 14 and walking all this stuff out. I'm telling you, I'm passionate because the enemy has worked so hard to keep the next level of praise and the next level of prayer. And you're going to Caleb thinking that's all God's got for you. And the reality is he's got something on another level for you. And you're not willing to walk in it because you've been told tongues is of the devil. Or you've been told tongues is whatever. When Jesus himself is the one that says, I want you to walk in this. And Paul himself says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Yeah. and even more that you prophesied. You shall receive power. And I remember teaching in Mexico one time. And I was down there, and the Lord just reminded me of this, and I was leading him in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of people, just people everywhere, and it was hotter than snot. Like, oh my gosh. My flesh was melting in that place. And I began to go and teach on this. And they came, and I did something that I'm going to do here in a second. And they came to receive. And I told them, keep praising God. Stop speaking Spanish. Don't fight against it. And don't force it and make it happen. You lean in and flow. And I'm telling you, God broke loose in that place. God broke loose, not in just that place. God broke loose in those people. And then I want to show you one more verse. We already read Acts 2:4. Go to Acts 2:38. And worship team, you can go ahead and come on up. Verse 37, they were cut to the heart with the preaching. Peter preached the gospel in a known language, in a common language, and they responded, what shall we do? And then verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. So the other lie that has been told is that the gifts are done away with, and the filling with the Holy Spirit was needed in the Bible times, in the book of Acts with the apostles, and signs, wonders, and miracles were needed back then. But now that we have the Bible in full, we don't need that anymore. That is an absolute lie that I could spend the next 2 hours showing you why it's a lie. It's an absolute lie, and it's a lie from the enemy trying to talk you out of what Jesus died to give you. And so notice this, repent. They said, what shall we do? And what did Peter say? Repent. That's salvation. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's water baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in this room, if there's, and I want y'all to just trust me on this, in this room, if there's anybody here and you know God's speaking to you and you've never been born again, you've never been born again. You've come to church, you tried to change your life, but you know you've never come and made a decision. Let me explain it this way. This is what I felt like God gave me. It's on the back side of your notes, and all those other scriptures on there are stuff I wanted to give you just to read on your own time to see through the rest of the book of Acts, this process of being saved and baptized and whatever. But look on the back side of your notes real quick. Three things I want you to see. That desire, divine desire. So Brandon, come back over here for a second. So when Brandon was unsaved, there was a divine desire that led him to a divine decision. Now you know what a devilish desire is and how a devilish desire leads to devilish decisions. But there's a divine desire that led to a divine decision, and he gave his life to Christ. And he believed Jesus was Lord and God raised him from the dead, and he did it by faith. He believed in his heart and he confessed with his mouth, and he received the Lord. And he became a new person, a new identity, spirit born, received salvation, and the person of the Holy Spirit from within him, the indwelling Holy Spirit, took Brandon and put him at the right hand of the throne of God with Jesus Christ and baptized him into the body of Christ. Has an eternal identity, even though he's living in a temporary body. He's part of an eternal body that will never be moved, never be changed. This body's going to change. And then that desire that led to a decision then becomes that next level. A divine decision leads to a divine direction. And Brandon said, you know what? I'm a new person. I'm going to step into my new purpose. And I'm going to have a funeral service for my old life and be buried. And now for the rest of my life, I'm living with a new direction. divine direction for my life. I'm not going to be confused about who I am. I'm not going to be confused about what I'm supposed to do. I'm a disciple of the Lord. I have a new direction in my life. And then that desire continues. That decision continues. That direction continues. And then he comes to this last chair, which is about his destiny as an ambassador for Christ, an eternal kingdom that is sending an ambassador. And he has the person of the king, the purpose of the king, and through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the king himself baptizes you with the power of his Spirit and unlocks in you the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're not to fight against and say, no, I'm not comfortable, I don't want that. Or force it and make it happen and get goofy. But we lean into it as we seek Jesus. And that desire releases a direction, and that direction, when we're committed to it and saying, I'm not going back, I want what Jesus has for me. Because these three things as a foundation in your life, there's no telling where God will take you. And matter of fact, I sense that. I wasn't planning this, but I'm telling you, as I was just sitting here, it felt like God just threw a water balloon almost right at me. That's how I know the Lord hits me, and that's why I hit you. it's like he throws it at me. And you've been living below what God has for you. And it's no happenstance that I called you out. Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to do a work in your life. I thank God for the work that he's done, Brandon. I thank God for where he's brought you from. I thank God for saving you because you needed to be saved. And I thank God for your baptism and all that he's done and how you serve people and help people. But there's multiple more levels. There's not just a next level. There's next levels for you. And that you need to get out of your own head and you need to open up to trust Jesus with your heart. And open up to him and have him baptize you with his Holy Spirit. Has that been something you've struggled with? I just want you to trust him. You like to figure things out. You tinker with big diesel trucks and all that. You tinker with stuff. You like to figure things out. You're not going to figure this out. Take him at his word. Take him at his word. And just lean in, Brandon. Just lean in. So since that's you, I want you to stand right down here. If there's somebody in this room, and I want you to face me, Brandon. If there's somebody in this room that you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to, if you've never given your life to Christ, and today is the day. I'm not talking about rededication. I'm talking about, you know what? If I was to die right now, I wouldn't go to heaven. I've gone to church, and I've gone to this program or that thing or this thing. I've tried to do better, but I've never given my life to Christ. If that's you, I want you to come meet me right here. Just get out of your seat and come meet me right here. If you know I need to be born again, I need to be, not I need to rededicate my life to God. I need to be born again, and I've never given my life to Christ. I want you to meet me right here. And here's the deal. You know if it's you, all you got to do is just take action. All you got to do is make a decision. All you got to do is make a decision. I know it's scary, and I know it's, but all you got to do is make a decision. Maybe everybody in the room is already born again. If you come to me after service and say, I want to get born again, I'm going to say no. You missed your window. Is there anybody here? Since there's a teenage girl here and you just got freaked out by me saying that, could be wrong, might be the coffee I drank, is there anybody here that you've been born again but you've not made a commitment to be baptized in water? Or you know you've been living in such a way that you know you need to come back with a rededication baptism that's legit and sincere by faith. And God's already been talking to you about that. and you need to be baptized in water, I want you to come meet me right here. Okay. Yeah. They responded last week and they're going to be baptized really soon. Are you coming up? Okay, come right here. Now, here's what I want to do. I want one, guys with guys and girls with girls, except for family relationships, come and stand behind a person. And Brandon, you just scoot down a little bit. Come stand behind one of these people to agree with them. One person at least, one person behind each one. So, everybody in this room was born again. Some just came to say, I want to be baptized in water. But even for you, because this can actually happen before this. You could switch these two chairs. So today, as you're seeking to walk in this, you can actually open up to this. Okay? Now, everybody else, if you're here and you're saying this, I've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I want Jesus to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Come join us up here. Come join us up here to stand anywhere you need to. You can spread out down that way if you need to. Yeah, come on up, Matt. And I want you like in a single, so if y'all are coming up, go on that side over there. Yeah, scoot. Yeah, there you go. Good job. Good job. I saw this the other day in prayer, like a single file line. The teenagers heard me. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Come. Now, if you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, you've already been baptized with the Holy Spirit, guys with guys, girls with girls, come stand behind one of these people who just came up. Here's what's going to happen. I want everybody to look at me. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Just like you asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this is how you ask Him to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And when I get done, I'm not going to say amen. This is not a prayer you say amen to. This is a prayer that you begin to start worshiping the Lord. Whether you're by yourself, in a church service, whatever, you start worshiping the Lord. And you put your focus on Him. You put your mind on Him. You put your heart on Him. And you begin to lean in. And as you lean in, you do two things. You trust that Jesus is going to do what He said. You trust He saved you and forgave you of your sins when you asked Him to save you. So you need to trust and come by faith and know that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. Some of you may feel something, some of you may not. Your feelings do not matter in this. Your faith does. For you to open up to the Lord. And those, everybody else, if maybe you've been filled with the Spirit and you're struggling with a certain aspect of it, I want you to open up to the Lord yourself and make this whole place an altar. As we worship the Lord, and I want you to begin just to cry out to the Lord and begin to worship Him. And after you pray to have Jesus baptize you with the Holy Spirit, I want you to keep praising God. Stop speaking English. And I want you to lean into it. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens. Don't fight against it. Just flow. I don't care what happens. If you levitate, levitate. If you throw up, throw up. I don't care what happens. You just lean into it. And then they'll do what the Bible says, the ones behind you laying hands on you and praying for you as you just keep worshiping the Lord. So everyone who's come to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, close your eyes and open your heart and open your hands out before the Lord in a place of receiving. And say this out loud to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord Jesus, I come before you today because I trust you. I thank you for saving me, for making me a new person, forgiving me of my sins. I called on you and you answered. So I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the redemption of the cross, that you made me a new person and you are the Lord of my life. And I believe that you are my baptizer with the Holy Spirit, that you want to pour your Spirit out upon me, that you want me to receive power, that the gifts of your Spirit would flow through my everyday life. So I ask for rivers of prayer, rivers of praise to flow through my life, to magnify you, to honor you, that you would bring me to another level. So I receive the fullness of your Spirit as you pour your Spirit upon my life. I receive it in Jesus' name. And now just begin to bless him. Just begin to bless him. And in a second, we'll go into worship, but just begin to bless him. Just begin to bless him.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.